From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 14th day of September 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. We'll check in with Lance Honig. He's the chief of the crops branch for USDA NASS. I was wondering just a bit about some of the objective yield data that showed up in the Tuesday USDA crop production report. In particular, the implied pod weight, which was very, very heavy. We ask him about that and so much more. You'll hear that conversation today. And we'll also talk about the marketplace and cash grain situation with Matt Bennett. He's at Bennett Consulting out of Channel Seeds. And then we'll check the weather forecast, too, with Mike Tenora from T-Storm. And it all happens right here on this edition of Ag Programming from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Thursday afternoon. We're now joined by Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, to take a look at the marketplace. A nice up day in Chicago, especially for the soybeans today, Dan.
Yes, it was. And it tells you that maybe the market isn't quite as bearish as what the USDA's report would imply. We did have good weekly export sales today. And then in addition, we had another, I think, China purchase go along with that. So the soybeans were able to find some good fundamental support. Another, I think, issue that, or a couple issues that may be supporting the beans. For the most part, the season is finishing up on a dry note, and I think there's some reason to believe that maybe USDA's August crop estimate or September estimate still may be a little lofty the way the crop is finishing off. Another factor is South American weather pattern is maybe not necessarily ideal as they approach the planting season, too wet in some areas, too dry in other areas. So I think maybe a combination of all those things kind of came together here and allowed soybeans to close significantly higher. And by doing so, they punched out last week's high point. And we've got another solid close above the 38% retracement level of the summer decline. After we had the dip late last week and going into the report, and then so we're actually making new highs for the move since we made our low back in late August.
And the corn followed along reluctantly today, or did it have support as well?
Well, I would say it kind of followed along. There was no follow-through to the downside, basically, after USDA's report. We actually closed in the middle part of the range. We were able to kind of firm up a little bit yesterday, and then now today we just followed through. Now, corn is still kind of been last week's high or the week before is the 23% retracement level of the summer decline. That kind of put the brakes on the corn market. The positive thing on corn is it did hold above the 344 low that we posted here a week and a half or so ago. Now, the key here, what technicians will be watching for, is if corn can push above the most recent high there at this 23% retracement level. If we can, then the technicians would look for corn to maybe take a run back into the 370s. That seems to be pretty much the case also for wheat. Wheat is still underneath the 23% retracement level of the summer decline. So just briefly looking at the corn and the wheat market, you would say that maybe the corn market could be tracing out a sideways trading range between 345 and 60-ish until we maybe get into the, until we get a little more further into harvest, and then we'll see whether or not USDA's yield estimates are actually valid or too low or too high, and then we'll decide whether or not we need to go lower or we'll continue with the retracement rally. Soybeans are definitely in an uptrend since they made their late August low. So soybeans, for the most part, we're almost halfway through September, are basically going counter-seasonal. September is a very strong month to the downside, and the soybean market is basically making new highs since it's made its late August low. So that's counter-seasonal. And I think today's solid close above the 38% retracement level opens the gate toward a run up to the 62% retracement level, which is right up against the $10 level. Another way, if you would take this decline that we had from last week and the report low, kind of take the midpoint of that and then swing that off of the late August low, that would also kind of imply that soybeans have a shot to return to the 990s or the $10 level.
Hey, thanks so much. We'll talk with you again during Commodity Week at 3 o'clock this afternoon when we give you a call, and then we'll get that posted up to the website. You'll be joined by Ellen Dearden from AgriView and also by Matt Bennett with Bennett Consulting Channel Seed. So look forward to talking with you in about 45 minutes or so.
Very well.
All right. That, of course, is Dan Zwicker. It's Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. It's a Thursday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. This, of course, is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. We're now joined by the chief of the crops branch for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Lance Honig. Thanks, Lance, for joining us this afternoon. You're in charge, I think, in part, of putting some of the crop production report together. I've got some questions for you. Can we go through those, please?
Absolutely. I appreciate you taking the time with me.
I want to start with the objective yields, in particular for the soybean. On the panel that came from the executive summary, it shows that the implied pod weight is higher than anything that we've seen, I don't know, maybe the last 12 or 13 years. Can you explain where that number comes from?
Sure. And, you know, and really the key there is the word implied. Okay, that's a calculated pod weight based on a couple of assumptions. Okay, first of all, we're starting by taking the published yield estimate for that 11-state region, for those states that do objective yield for soybeans. So we're taking that published yield, and then we're using the number of pods per 18 square feet from the survey, and then we're just doing the math backwards to say, well, if that's the final yield, and if those are the final pod counts, then this is what that would imply the pod weight to be. So the big question in there is, what are the final pods per 18 square feet going to be? That implied pod weight that you see on that graphic, that's based on the pods, the pod count from the September survey. Now, if you look at, and we do publish those survey pod counts in the report, and if you look back at those pod counts over time, the last several years, you'll see that almost without fail, those pod counts increase as the season goes on. So if that happens again this year, and if the yield doesn't change, the pod weight, implied pod weight by default, is going to come down.
Right. So, okay, so that helps me out, because that looks like an outlier by far in terms of what the implied pod weight was. So you're suggesting really that, much like we see from August to September in the objective corn yield, where we're looking at ears per acre, those ears go up almost, I think, always from August to September. And I don't know whether they keep going up or not, but the number of pods are going to go up and the implied weight will go down. So does this one look like, in the soybean, implied pod weight as an outlier compared to the previous years, even when you factor in how many pods, more pods there might be in the future?
Well, you know, and that's you have to ask yourself, how many more pods will there be, right? So, I mean, obviously, depending on how much that pod count goes out throughout the season will determine how much that pod weight would drop. Certainly, I think one of the things that this would probably suggest is that we are going to see a high or a relatively high pod weight. Is it going to be higher than what we've seen before? Well, we don't know that for sure yet, but it's not that much higher than last year's final pod weight at this point. If you look at that graphic, I mean, the highest pod weights on there are all the most recent years. So we're certainly seeing higher pod weights in recent years than we have historically. So exactly where this year falls in, we don't know for sure. It looks like it's going to be probably a large pod weight. Too early to say for sure if it's going to be the highest or if it's just going to be up in that upper range.
How much confidence, and I didn't scroll down to see, did you have in the predictions for this year? So what was the swing from one side to the other for this particular yield for the soybeans?
Well, what we publish in the report is basically what we call our root mean square error. But really what that's just showing is over the last 20 years, how much has the production forecast moved from September to that final yield. So it's not necessarily a measure of confidence so much as it is just letting you see over the last 20 seasons this as what has happened. It doesn't necessarily imply that the same thing's going to happen this year. But, you know, our procedures are the same every year. We're looking at the same type of information. So usually history gives you an indication of kind of how things are, you know, probably going to square away this year. But you got to kind of make your own assumption there as to whether or not this year looks like those years or not.
Is there any evidence that you at NASS have gotten better at the process over the last 5 years? It seems that the numbers from August and September are much closer, and that's suggested by the agricultural economist here and at Purdue both.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at, you know, kind of the track record, I guess that's what the term we would use, right, our track record over the last however many years. But if you look at, like you said, the last 5 years, there's a much tighter range, or has been a much tighter range between these early forecasts and where the final yield comes out. And that's true for both soybeans and corn. So that's, you know, obviously something that we're happy about, because our goal is always to be as accurate from the very beginning as we possibly can.
Farmers, especially given the drought monitor evidence that rolled out today, are not convinced that you're right. Is there reason to believe that these yields for both corn and soybeans would move lower in the future? And I know that's a difficult question for you to actually answer because you deal with only the stats that you have in front of you.
Well, and you know, and our goal each month when we set this forecast is obviously it's based on the information that we have at the time, of course, but our goal is to estimate what, based on that data, what we believe the final yield is going to be at the end of the season. So obviously, based on everything we've seen, everything we have as of this month, we believe these to be the yields for this season. Now, we clearly recognize that things can change between now and actual harvest. We know weather can play a factor. There's other things that can change. But the bottom line is, based on everything we've seen, we expect the yields to be right where we published them this month.
Thank you so much. Anything else to add before I let you go?
Well, I mean, it's just a reminder that, you know, when we establish these yield forecasts, we really have three primary sources of data that we're looking at. You know, we talked about the objective yield information, so we've got our enumerators in the fields taking these counts and measurements. Second to that, we've got a fairly significant producer survey that we're doing. So we're asking producers to tell us, what do you think your yields are going to be? And then last but not least, we've got remote sensing information. So we've got satellite-based data that also helps us predict what yields are going to be. So we're putting all those pieces of information together to arrive at the best yield forecast that we can.
Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, Todd.
That, of course, is Lance Honig. He's the chief of the crops branch for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. We often simply say USDA NASS. Let's check now the cash side of the marketplace. Matt Bennett is with us from Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. He's in the field actually harvesting, I think, this afternoon. Is that right, Matt?
Yeah, we're cutting beans here. We're still on our first field. We've cut a few beans a couple of different days. But, you know, we sprayed everything with fungicide and insecticide this year. And a lot of these beans are still holding on to some pods and some leaves. And so, but they're testing 13 and a half. So we want to go ahead and be cutting beans, of course, at those moisture levels.
And I know I checked with my family yesterday to see what they thought about when they'd go. And they're usually in pretty quickly. I know the soybean field, for me, they planted the 15th. That was the last one that they planted. I don't expect that'll come out until maybe October sometime. And they don't think corn for another couple of weeks. And it sure doesn't look like a lot of corn will go. However, producers tend to get itchy and start to shuck a few end rows. What are you hearing about corn and harvest around the Midwest? Anything?
Well, yeah, I've talked to several producers. You know, there's a lot of guys that are saying that they feel like their corn's a little better than what they thought it was going to be. I haven't heard a whole lot of disappointed farmers on yields on corn just yet. A couple of different guys were saying that they felt like maybe it came in a little bit under where they were thinking, but soybean yields for the most part have been all over the place. A little more variability, I think. But again, I think there's probably been a few more of these early beans cut than maybe what there's been a whole lot of corn harvest so far. So that might be part of the problem there.
What do you think of Tuesday's USDA report and the yields that they came up with for the crop production numbers?
Well, you know, I was talking to some guys basically the morning of the report and said, you know, I just have a bad feeling they're going to come in above the yield from August on both corn and beans. And that was based upon some of the guys that I talked to early on. I guess I was a little surprised. So talked to a couple of producers down in the Robinson area, which a lot of those guys just been dry as a bone down there. Been thinking they were going to have 100 or less, and yet they were coming in with quite a bit better corn than that. So, you know, if you start hearing that across the board, you start thinking maybe the USDA is a little more right than what we thought.
And for those who don't know where Robinson is, that would be across the state line from Terre Haute, or if you're from that area, Terre Haute. So just kind of an idea where they are. And they have an ethanol plant down there as well that we talk to with folks from on occasion. Any little thing that producers ought to think about today? And then we'll talk with you again at 3 o'clock for Commodity Week 2 today.
Yeah, I just think this has been a nice rally. Who would have thought we were going to raise the yields on both corn and beans and then be able to do what we've done, especially with soybeans? And so, you know, in this situation, let's pay close attention. If you're cutting beans early and they're really good, hey, probably ought to do something with it.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. We'll talk with you in half an hour.
Hey, thank you, Todd.
That, of course, Matt Bennett. He's with Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for a Thursday afternoon. Mike Tenora is now here. He's with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago. It's been awfully dry in a large part of the Midwest. Drought monitor keeps expanding, though the crops are pretty much in the can, other than they're not harvested at this point. What can you tell me about the coming weeks and how harvest might proceed in the U.S.?
Well, we're going to start seeing rain here as we go forward, so not the best timing for a wetter period to start, but that is what's going to happen as we move into next week. Initially, most of the rain will form in the Dakotas and Montana over the next couple of days. That will start to alleviate some of the drought that exists up in the Dakotas and Montana, and also parts of Canada. But this is mostly a spring wheat and winter wheat area. So while it will start to improve soil moisture for upcoming wheat planting, it really won't mean much for corn and soybeans because the majority of that rain will focus to the west where those crops are produced. Now, once we get into next week, that's where things start to change for corn and soybeans. We'll start to see a more summerish type of weather pattern where high temperatures will be popping into the 80s and even the 90s at times once you move further to the west from Illinois. And that will set the stage for some thunderstorms as we see waves of energy move on to the east. We are looking for some heavy rainfall, especially to the west of the Mississippi River. So some of these drier areas of Iowa, Missouri, and then extending further west into some of the wetter areas of Kansas and Nebraska. So It will turn wetter here, Todd, as we go forward. For Illinois specifically, the best rain chances are over the second half of next week and more into the following weekend, so 7 to 10 days from now, though overall it appears that the wettest weather will be focusing just to the west of the Mississippi River.
Turn your attention from North America to South America. There's a lot of scuttlebutt about dry conditions in Brazil, though I think that's fairly normal still at this time of the year.
It's entirely normal of their climate, so no one should have concern about what's happening in Brazil at the moment. You have to remember that they have a quasi-monsoon-type climate in Brazil, and this is especially true in the key central and northern growing areas. What happens over the course of their winter, which is our summer, is they basically receive little to no rainfall for about three straight months. So every day is hot and every day is sunny from June through August in these key soybean areas of Brazil, and again, some of their corn areas too. Then what happens is it starts to get wetter. The wetter period tends to begin in late September and more so October. At that point in time, they start to see thunderstorms maybe every 5 to 10 days or so. And they need that rain to improve topsoil moisture so they can plant their crops and then have them germinate. After that, they expect rains to continue in order for their crops to develop in a normal fashion. And the climate just keeps turning wetter, wetter, and wetter all the way into January. Here's an interesting statistic for you. If you look at Mato Grosso, which is the top producing soybean state in Brazil, they average around 1 inch of rain for the entire period of June, July, and August. That's it, 1 inch of rain. If you then go forward and look at how much rain they receive in December, January, and February, which is their key period for soybean development, they average anywhere from 24 to 30 inches of rain during that period of time. So they're almost 3,000% as wet in the height of their growing season than they are out of season. That's totally different than what we see here in the Corn Belt, where we turn a little bit drier in the winter, sure, but we're still seeing 1 to 3 inches of water pretty much every month in the form of rain, ice, or snow in the winter, then ramping up to around 4 to 5 inches per month in the height of the summer. So just an entirely different climate. Being dry right now is not a big deal. They will turn wetter, and we'll start to see that come October. You'll start to see thunderstorms in the forecast in Brazil.
Hey, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Todd. Talk to you later.
That, of course, is Mike Tenura. He's with T-Storm Weather from Chicago. I'm Todd Gleason.